On January the 17th, 1979, one day after the king left Iran, William Sullivan, the United States ambassador in Iran, went to his office, which was located on Takht-e-Jamshid Street in Tehran. The city seemed calm and quiet. Apparently, one day after the king's escape, the capital had gained some peace. Sullivan approached Boris Lingen, the first secretary of the United States Embassy, in the yard of the embassy and asked him to deliver the latest information and reports from the reporters of the embassy, as well as the reports about the events happening in Tehran on the previous day. These reports had to be sent to Washington as soon as possible. Some of the staff in the embassy, who kept all the events related to the Iranian people's revolts and all the activities of the revolution under careful surveillance, had prepared a detailed report on the unrest in Tehran and other cities and the king's leaving the country. Now Sullivan had to issue the command for sending these reports. The reports were usually sent from the upper floor of the embassy, which was equipped with a reliable communication system and had bugged all the telephone conversations of Iran and the Middle East. But nobody could decipher the messages and reports that they sent. These communication facilities were imported to Iran at different times, overtly or covertly, from air boundaries by cargo planes. They were carried to the embassy under no supervision and were secretly installed. In this way, they could follow the intelligence and spying activities of the United States. Later, it became evident that this round antenna had a very important function in creating and tracking telecommunications. The antenna was installed in the United States Embassy in Tehran on Nowruz of 1975, while the Iranian people were busy with their New Year visits and were unaware of what was happening in the embassy. Mehrabad Airport, Terminal 2, January 1979. In January 1979, many American residents left Iran from this terminal. Some of them went via airline flights, but most of them left Iran by cargo planes of the American Army. At that time, the number of American people working in Iran was more than 50,000, although the exact number was considered confidential and was never revealed. When General Robert Heiser, the special envoy, came to Iran, this number decreased day by day, as one of his responsibilities was to take the Americans out of Iran. Heiser visited the United States Embassy in Tehran regularly and sent various reports to Washington about Iran, the status of the King's Army, and the conditions of the political forces. Heiser has appended to his book some of those reports which could be published and has conducted a brief analysis on them. His assistants in the embassy had to cipher the reports received from all over Iran, investigate all the aspects, and send all of them to the United States. Marc Stampo had been sending such reports from the United States Embassy in Tehran for 8 years. The office of the ambassador, William Sullivan, was located on the lower floor of the embassy. He was always investigating or preparing reports he had received. These reports, which were prepared by the affiliates and spies of the embassy all over Iran, were compared to other reports and were analyzed. After obtaining more information, they were organized in the form of entirely confidential reports. Based on the classifications, some of the reports were sent to the royal court by special envoys and were delivered to Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. Some of the reports were sent to Washington. This kind of communication could establish the king's situation and aid the embassy's staff in taking the next measures against the revolutionary forces. The people who were chosen as agents to work in the United States Embassy were obliged to pass special training courses and to acquire extensive information about Iran in order to gain full awareness on the region of their mission. The members of the embassy were responsible for employing different people of the court and relatives of the king. They were required to have close communications with Savak in order to gather the most recent information and reports from all over the country in different political, economic, and social aspects. They then had to send them to Washington. On February 1979, the United States Embassy was very busy. The relations between Iran and the United States had started in 1851, but what made the presence of the United States in Iran more tangible was the martial occupation of Iran in September 1941. In that year, martial forces of the United States, England, and the Soviet Union occupied Iran under the pretext of Reza Shah's cooperation with Nazi Germany. These countries reached an agreement to dismiss Reza Shah from Iran and replace him with Mohammad Reza. Martial commanders of Reza Shah showed little resistance against the occupation of the country, and in a short time, the Allied forces could gain control over all the cities and crucial areas of the country. The years of Iran's occupation were difficult and miserable ones for the people who had just been set free from the oppressions of the uncontrolled dictatorship. Suddenly, they saw their country occupied by foreigners who were present in every city. The most miserable days had come for the Iranian people. Poverty, unemployment, famine, and insecurity prevailed in the country more than ever before, and their pitiful manifestations were evident. The main center for the cooperation of the Allied forces in Tehran was at the English embassy. The United States did not have a large and efficient embassy at that time.
آمریکایی‌ها اولین سفارتخونه‌شون رو تو ایران در منزلی مسکونی در سال 1302 که این منزل متعلق به شخصی به نام سرهنگ اکبری از نظامیای اون زمان بوده اجاره میکنن. مدت اجاره 3 سال بوده که در طی این مدت این آقای سرهنگ اکبری فوت میکنه و ورثه این آقای سرهنگ اکبری هر کاری میکنه آمریکایی‌ها رو از اون منزل بیرون کنه نمیتونه و نهایتاً آمریکایی‌ها به مدت 8 سال در اونجا بودن. بعد از اون در سال 1310 آمریکایی‌ها به مدت 2 سال در سفارت انگلیس مستقر میشن، یه اتاقی گرفته بودن و کارهای دیپلماتیکشون رو اونجا انجام میدن.
The obedience of Mohammad Reza's servile government resulted in the problems of the country to increase day by day. On February 4, 1949, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi was the target of an abortive assassination at Tehran University. The attacker was named Nasser Fakhrai, whose political identity was never revealed. 5 bullets were shot toward the king, but he was only injured in his shoulder and face. 1 bullet passed under his nose and scraped his mustache and cheek. In order to cover the scar of that injury, Mohammad Reza decided not to cut his mustache. According to the pre-planned schedule, he had to travel to the United States and visit the president, Truman. The United States Embassy in Tehran, which had all the information about the court and Mohammad Reza, sent a message to him saying that whenever he wanted to visit Truman, he had to cut his mustache before traveling to the United States because the president disliked mustaches. Therefore, the king had to resign himself to this act. This visit was a turning point in the relations between Iran and the United States, and after that, the United States' meddling in Iran affairs increased. This visit allowed Mohammad Reza Shah to become acquainted with the viewpoints and expectations of the Americans and to follow them after his return. The first result of that visit was manifested a few months later. Lieutenant General Razmaraz becoming the Prime Minister and the successive failure of weak and shaky governments in Iran, which were dependent on the policies of England, made the Americans increase their competition with the long-lasting authority of England in Iran. The Americans said they wouldn't give any loans to Iran unless a powerful American government was established in Iran. But Razmara wasn't a suitable person for this task, and he didn't have the power to confront the growing national and religious movements of the Iranian society at that time. In the end, he said goodbye to politics forever when he was shot dead. Shortly after that, some factions and nationalists and the followers of Ayatollah Khashoggi created an independent government in the country and brought about a lot of problems for the implementation of the policies of the United States and England in Iran. Oil, as an important source of energy, was nationalized, and penetrating the government of that time wasn't an easy task. The coup of August 18, 1953, which resulted in the downfall of the government, gave the American forces a unique opportunity to put themselves in a new situation. The main initiators of the coup were the officials of the White House, security and intelligence forces of the CIA were the operating staff of the project. As the coup succeeded and gained importance in the Middle East, the United States Embassy in Tehran was extended and increased in width and length to the north and west of Takht-e-Jamshid Street.
در سال 1312 آمریکایی‌ها میان تو همین محل فعلی به اصطلاح باقی بوده متروکه که در سال 1303 توسط آمریکایی‌ها از ورثه امجد الملک خریداری میشه. این باغ به اصطلاح یه قناتی داشته، قنات مهدی آباد بوده که آب منطقه امجدیه و یا باغات وزارت فرهنگ اون موقع و وزارت ارشاد فعلی رو تامین می‌کرده. اینجا رو آمریکایی‌ها در سال 1303 از ورثه امجدالملک خریدن و قرارداد رو طوری نوشته بودن چون قرار بوده در جنوب این باغ، خیابون طالقانی فعلی و تخت جمشید قدیم، در جنوب این باغ خیابونی تأسیس بشه، شهرداری و قرار بوده خیابونی که این اقدام در سال 1315 شروع میشه. 1315 به کاردار سفارت به اصطلاح ابلاغ میشه که اینجا خیابون میخواد زده بشه و قرار بوده قبلا این خیابون 40 متری باشه و بعدش تصمیم میگیرن خیابون 30 متری باشه، یعنی 10 متر در طول سفارت آمریکایی‌ها بدون اینکه پولی رو پرداخت بکنن به اصطلاح تصاحب میکنن. و در از سال 1315 تا 1320 حدوداً 5 سال آمریکایی‌ها درگیر بودند با وکیل ورثه امجدالملک، آقای سید هاشم وکیل بوده و عباس نراقی بوده، چون که ورثه امجدالملک هم به خاطر نفوذی که آقای متین دفتری داشته، این 10 متر در طول و واگذار با آقای متین دفتری می‌کنن و ایشون میره دنبال به اصطلاح اینکه این منطقه رو تجاریش بکنه، برای مغازه اقدام بکنه، که آمریکایی‌ها از این جریان مطلع میشن و دیوار رو میارن 10 متر جلوتر بنا میکنن، دیوار فعلی سفارت، بدون اینکه وقتی رو پرداخت بکنن به ورثه. بعد آمریکایی‌ها از سمبولای زورگوییشون یکی این بوده که قناتی داخل این سفارت بوده، قنات مهدی‌آباد بوده، که آب شرب باقات وزارت فرهنگ اون موقع و ارشاد فعلی رو تامین می‌کرده، ورزشگاه امجدی آب شربش از همین قنات تامین می‌شده. اما چون که از داخل سفارت رد می‌شده، آمریکایی‌ها این آبو می‌بندن تا این تکلیف دیواره و تکلیف زمینه مشخص بشه. زورگوییشون رو از اون موقع هم داشتن اینا.
In this way, the United States Embassy in Tehran played an important role in controlling the country through its constant communications with the court and Mohammad Reza.